Coming up, Subversity. This is KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KCI.
Tasted this good. Available in regular and economy-sized bottles.
This is KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Today we're going to be talking with a gay activist who's a young guy and who has a really interesting history and has a website. He's also been active on the web. And we'll be talking to him momentarily. But first, let's update what's been happening with gay activists and AIDS activists in China, who Friday was released from jail. On a previous show, we talked about his detention. Subsequently, it was found out that he was detained for national security reasons, and that is Wan Yanhai, who is an AIDS activist in China. And the resident also of Los Angeles. He commutes between China and Los Angeles. On Friday, he was released from custody. And this morning, we spoke with him, and he said that he expects to be back in the US, back in Los Angeles, next month. And we'll bring you more developments in this case. He is understandably hesitant to talk about the situation. Given that he could be put back in jail on a pretext. And so we will wait and see what happens as he departs and see if he is actually exiled from China or not, see if he's able to return to China. On a local front, we were able to talk with recently another AIDS activist who's actually younger than Wan Yanhai. He's a Cantonese-speaking guy who was born in Illinois but grew up in San Francisco. And he was a gang member and also came out as a teenager. His name is Desmond Kwok. And we had the privilege of talking with this guy a few weeks ago in the middle of the night. And so we will bring you that interview. And he has a website that he has created where he has is quite eloquent about his life as a gang member and as a gay activist. And you can see the link to that website on the Subversity homepage at kuci.org dash slash tilde DTSANG. And there'll be a news release about this show today. That will give the news. That will give you the URL for that site. And his name, his pen name on the web is Poison Asian, POIZONAZN, POIZONAZN. And we talk with him about his life. So here he is. How would you describe yourself? You see yourself as a rebel?
In a manner, yes, I do. I've lived a very different life from a lot of the typical gay Asians out there. And this goes back into my past life and everything as an ex-gang member. And yeah, I've pretty much been rebellious because I don't know, I always saw it as making life a little bit more interesting as well.
did you come how did you come to those opinions?
What opinion?
I mean, that you said you're different from everybody. What caused that?
Well, mainly because I don't really fit into one category. Like, you know, well, first of all, you know, I'm gay, and usually, you know, when you mention words like that, you always think white. And the other thing is, I'm Asian, you know, rarely a minority. What sets me apart from a lot of people is, I guess it'd probably be the way I think, things I do.
You grew up in the Midwest?
Yeah. I was born in Rockford, Illinois, a small little town.
Yeah. It's kind of a religious town, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Very strong Christian Catholic bunch of people.
So was your family very conservative or liberal or what?
Well, we started out very conservative and everything. My dad is a very businessman type person. He owns two of the best restaurants around the Wisconsin area and upper Illinois. And my mom was a very strong Catholic person at that time. It wasn't until she moved out here to San Francisco, she started to loosen up, and then finally, she started, you know, just opening up to things. And because another big thing is probably gay people. And back out in Illinois, we didn't have any. She didn't know any gay people out here in San Francisco. Turns out, all her best friends are gay.
Oh, yeah. So did she accept you when you? I guess were you forced out, or how? How did you come out to them? I mean,
when I came out to my mom.
Yeah.
When I came out to her, she had, you know, not much problem with it because like I said, all her best friends were gay.
How old were you then?
I was 15 at the time.
And was that when you said you're ex-gang member? Is that when you joined, or?
I don't exactly remember when I joined. I know that I tried to get out, I believe, in 97 or 98, because I was in the process of getting out in 98, because something happened to me back in 97, which kind of left my memory shattered, I guess you could say. Like, I don't really remember too much of my past. Little bits and bits of what people tell me. I've been putting them together, and every now and then I'll start remembering other things, but it's been very interesting.
You were beat up, huh? In 97.
Yeah. This was... I'm sure it was before I started coming out. It was, in 97. This is what the police told me. They said that there was a bunch of, I was at the Toys R Us, and a bunch of black kids followed me out the store, and when I was making my way past the parking lot, they beat me up there with something. They said there was about like five or seven of them. They had some kind of object, and they hit me in the head a bunch of times. They stole my wallet, and I was unconscious for about an hour. Then I somehow got up, walked down the rest of the stairs in the parking lot, and ended up in the had no understanding what had happened. Everything was a blank. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know exactly who took me home. My sister came in, and she was crying, and she didn't know what to say and everything. I didn't know who she was.
Huh.
It took, you know, several months for, like, my friends to come by and talk to me and remind me exactly who I was.
Did it hurt a lot?
It did. I mean, no, you basically, you've just had your past and all your memories completely taken away from you.
Wow.
And, you know, it's been years since that happened, and, you know, every now and then I think about it, and I try to think, like, exactly, what was I like in the past? Or if this whole incident made me any more different than I was supposed to have grown up into. It's gotten a lot easier to talk about to people.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Did you meet people? But when you meet people from the past, then is it strange if you don't know anything about how you knew them? Or?
Well, the thing is, during that I received the whole recovery time, I really didn't have much of a choice about trusting people. Because I don't exactly know where they come in from in the first place. And one of those people, I remember her, she's actually my god sister now. Her name is Angie, or Angela. And you know, she was pretty much always there for me. You know, meeting her quite even right after that whole incident.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, a lot of the stuff that people are telling me, even my mom and everything, I actually came to find out that some of it wasn't true. And I went into, like, a depression, like, and it was just like depression, because I was being lied to, and people were basically forming my past for me that really wasn't there, and I didn't know what to believe anymore.
Were they trying to make it better, make it more positive?
I guess they were trying to make it more positive. I mean, people used to tell me, like, yeah, you used to be really quiet, or you used to be, like a good boy, you always did well in school. Those, my mom and some other people also said something like, oh, yeah, you and your father never got along, or I didn't get along with him. I don't exactly remember. It was one of the two things. And it turned out that the truth was exactly actual opposite of what they told me.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I don't get along with my father very well.
So you came out after that incident?
Yeah, I came out after all that.
How did that happen? Did you run away? Were you chased out of the house? Or?
I wasn't chased out of the house due to those reasons. Moreover, it was, going through my rebellious teenage years. It was because of, there was some incidents where it was because of that. I think it was just because my mom was angry, because I wasn't going to school, and I was always just hanging out with either the gang members or just with these, you know, gay people I was hanging out with.
Was this a Chinese gang or an Asian gang? Or?
Yeah. It was Chinatown based.
Were they supportive of gays or not?
The people that I was around and the people who I was following, they had no problem with it. There was a guy that my boss was following had a really big problem with it, and he actually wanted me dead, and I was under them for a good year. I guess you could say I was banned from Chinatown for a while.
And what did this gang do? What did you do when you were in it?
It's a lot of the typical stuff: extortion, drug trafficking, fights.
Was it mostly young people? I mean, how old and how young, I guess?
People were going from, I guess, 16 and up to
So do you speak English or Chinese or?
Mostly Chinese.
Cantonese.
Yes.
And did they have run-ins with the cops?
Yes, they did.
Did the cops take pictures of you guys, or what did they do up there in San Francisco?
Yes, it depends on which branch you go to or what happened. The majority of the time, like a lot of them were arrested for fights or for doing really stupid things in the neighborhood.
Were you arrested? So what was your attitude? Do you see them as your brothers there in the gang, or how did you see?
Then I did. I always saw them as family.
Yeah.
And it was an end of when I was leaving, and that one guy was looking for me. None of the other people really could do anything. And, you know, I respect that. I mean, you know, they're given orders, they're given, you know, rules and everything. They have to abide by them, or their life is on the line.
Well, you jumped, or how did you get in the beginning?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Huh. So were you attacked because you were in a gang?
Before, or?
Yeah, at the foot, you know, with these. With this,
I don't know.
You don't remember.
People said that it was probably because it's probably around and here. Because it's a very typical thing that happens in the city with teenagers or young kids. Like, you know, if there's a group of them and they see somebody that they don't like, or just because they don't, you know, just because they're Asian or black or a racist thing, just anything, they just.
So when did you get into this identifying with as Asian more? Was that, did you identify as Chinese before being identifying as Asian, or was it the same thing, or what? Do you remember?
As far as
identifying as Asian, did you identify as Chinese first, or just Asian?
I was just Chinese. Like, you mean like ever since childhood? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, just Chinese because where I come from, in my entire school, it was just me and this one Korean girl. We're the only Asian kids in that whole school. And I always thought she was Chinese. It was only like way after we moved out here, my mom told me, "They're not Chinese, they're Korean." And, okay.
But when did you realize the concept of being Asian then?
I guess it, sadly enough, it has to be after I came here. Because over in where I was born, there are no Asians. And I had one best friend who was Chinese. And you know, we were always like kind of confused and everything. Like, why were we always different?
Yeah.
Everybody else. But the thing is, we always like, you know, we didn't really see it as much of anything. Like, you know, we never had any racial problems with the people that lived in that town.
Yeah.
The thing. We were just, you know, just like everybody else, I guess.
Were there a lot of other people of color there? No.
No. But the majority was white.
So then, in terms of when did you get, you remember identifying as gay?
I would have to say, ever since first grade. it was way far back. I don't remember.
You were just looking at the guys, and you think?
Yeah, I talked to a lot of students here and everything, and I was telling the story about how when I was a little kid back in first grade, my mom put me in a swimming class. And the thing is, I would find myself, like, checking out the male lifeguard, and he was just some Latin guy. I think he was really buff or something, but I remember the last day of the swimming class, why did I just say that?
Did people call you names?
No. I never had that problem either. Because the thing is, after that small incident, that discipline class thing, I just kind of was clear away. I didn't ever think about it again. I didn't, throughout from third, fourth, fifth grade, I just thought it was just that phase, just temporary, and I didn't understand it, so I just figured it was probably wrong. I didn't think about it until when I turned 15. Then I started realizing, like, hey, you know, I think I really am. I should really talk to somebody. And, yeah. So I always find myself looking at the guys. I look at a girl, and, you know, I think that she's pretty, but that's pretty much it.
You're listening to our interview on Subversity here on KCI with Desmond Kwok, who's a poison Asian, talking about his life as a former gang member and also as a gay teenager before. This is Subversity here on KCI. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI.
Your icebox is bare. Eat the ranch. Show your stomach you can. Eat the ranch. Pull the rich ass of the power. I think it's a shame. It's where they knock the ball on what we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of being the new life. Rest of the game. Eat the ranch.
We now go back to our interview with Poison Asian. So did you seek other guys at that time?
Huh?
Did you look for other guys then?
No, I wouldn't say that looking for them. I would probably just think about them. That's about it. Yeah. Like, you know, what would it be like if I was, like, you know, in this guy's arms, or, like, sleeping on this guy. Or just sleeping with this guy.
So did you look at erotica then? Were you able to get pictures and stuff?
Until, like, way later. Because we didn't, I mean, when I came out at 15, before I came out at 15, I mean, that didn't exist in my mind. When I came out at 15, it wasn't until, I guess, a year later, I went into a bookstore in the Castro district here in San Francisco, and there was a big porn section. And I just couldn't help but, like, flip through a few of the books.
How about in the meantime, did you go on the web? Was that a big thing then? To look for people or chat with people? I mean,
when I was 16, yeah. I wasn't, like, I didn't understand computers at all.
Yeah.
But, when I was 16, I met this guy, and, I thought he was, like, perfect and everything. And he just turned out to be a real jerk. But anyways, he was actually visiting here from Iowa or something. He was, like, with a big group of his friends, who were all also gay. And I hung out with them.
So a white guy or whatever?
They were all Vietnamese.
All Vietnamese,
And I hung out with them and asked how they all kept in touch, and they said that they used this program called MIRC.
Right.
So one of the guys that I hung out with in that group became my godfather, and he basically showed me the basics of using the internet. We use IRC and how to chat and talk to people. And I just got the hang of it, and I was pretty much at his house, like, all the time. He actually just lives, like, a few blocks away from me. And that's where it started.
So it didn't turn out to be a good relationship, or?
With the first guy? No.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't even classify it a relationship anymore. It was, like, I was really naive about this whole gay thing, and, you know, I thought, hey, you know, I'm gay. I found someone else who's Asian, and me and him can hook up, and we'll be together forever.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way. Thought I was wrong. Well, anyways, yeah, he just turned out to be a real big jerk, and I did...
Was he older than you? I mean, much older than you.
Yeah, he was, he was 20 at the time, and I was 16. And, actually, there's an article on Asian Week that I was on that kind of, they were, yeah, they had a whole thing written down that what happened, but he did, like, I slept with him one night, the first night that we met up, and then the following night, I just wanted to find out I was a one-night stand, that he slept with so many other different people.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? He told me I was his 25th accomplishment in 2 weeks.
He had just visited, he was visiting San Francisco.
Yeah. And, you know, that all hit me pretty hard. Like, I don't understand. Because, I had this naive thought in my head, like, hey, you know, this is love, but
yeah.
It was just my fling.
So you were in love, you thought you were in love with him?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So did he dump, he just dumped you?
No, just next morning.
Oh my gosh. So were you living at home then?
Am I living at home?
No, were you at the time?
At that time, yeah, I was living at home.
So you have a little section on, a section on your webpage about relationships. And do you still feel so, I guess, negative about?
I try to make things negative and positive. I always see two sides to everything. But the thing is, because of these past experiences with all the guys I've dated, I also keep welling that into realism. I've dated, I believe, about 7 official exes, and one of them, out of that 7, was a good ex. The rest of them, just really, really problematic.
This is 7 years, right? About 7 years. About 7 years. Yeah, 6 years. Yeah. 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. I was never good at math.
But you, you're 21 now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how long was the longest one that would...
The longest one I was in was for a year and a half, and it was my first relationship with somebody from San Jose.
From San Jose?
And, when I first met with him, I thought it was just going to be a one-night thing. I didn't think too much of it. It wasn't until the following day he had already told everybody that I was his boyfriend.
Oh.
And then a whole year and a half went by. And I had a lot of problems with him. We got into a lot of physical fights.
Yeah.
And,
Are you shorter than him, or...?
He was, I think, a little bit shorter than me, or about my height.
Oh.
And majority of the times, the people I'm dating are always taller than me. I'm only 5'5".
Yeah.
And yeah, me and him fight, used to fight a lot. Physical, verbal, and sometimes we're like, you know, he lives in San Jose, it's like 45 minutes away from San Francisco, and like sometimes we'll be in San Jose, we'll get in an argument, and then he would kick me out of his car.
Oh my God.
And I would be just left stranded in San Jose, and I'd call my friends from Oakland, which is on the other side of the bay, they would drive all the way down, pick me up from San Jose, and drive me all the way back to San Francisco.
How old were you then?
I think I was 16.
Oh, wow.
And that time, like, as far as age and everything, it's really mixed up.
Yeah, yeah. Were you always exclusively going with Asians?
With who?
Asians.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know, just my preference, I guess. I don't see myself dating white guys. I don't see myself dating Latin guys or black guys. I don't see myself sleeping with any of the other three. It's, I don't know, I guess it's always been this thing. I mean, I'm, you know, an Asian dude with someone who has to be.
What do you think of that term, rice queen? Do you like it, or do you think it's derogatory, or do you think it refers to white people more than Asians?
Well, when I think rice queen, I think, you know, it's something that white people use. And then I also think of, like, really feminine, like, flamy, gay Asian person.
Yeah.
I mean, all the little terms and everything that they use in the gay world, they just,
do you like the sticky rice?
I don't like the word that, hey, describes me, makes it more simpler for people to understand me, yeah, sure, fine.
Just a label, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I've seen Quentin, was it Quentin or somebody else, Huang's, have you seen Huang's videos? You know Huang? The Vietnamese American filmmaker, and he lives in the Bay Area now, and he has some videos, and there's one guy in there that says, "Oh, you're sticky," or something. Or he explains why he's sticky. But do you feel it's from there this kind of self this identifying with other Asians? Do you think it's a pride thing, or is it? Or what do you? How do you see it?
Because, you know, I come, it kind of goes back into, like, the whole gang thing.
Yeah.
Gangs come around because, you know, historically back then, it was because a bunch of people who couldn't, like, Asian people who couldn't get along with the white folks, or they couldn't get into a proper school, or were made fun of, they formed together and started doing criminal activity, trying to take back their territory in the United States. I mean, that's typical knowledge of any gang history, you know, whether it's, like, you know, the mafia or with, like, black people or anything. I mean, it's just always been about power and representation of what you believe. And, you know, the whole Asian pride thing, I've always kept that close to myself because, you know, that's, Asian is what I am, and, you know, I'm never going to let anything change that. I mean, I know a few friends of mine who are, like, really whitewashed and everything. They don't know their culture, they don't know their history, or their background, or whatever, and they had no care for it. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's not that I don't, I dislike that, I think it's a shame. I mean, you know, you should always learn about your own culture and where you come from. I mean, it makes a person more unique, less boring, everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Something that a lot of people will tell you, unique is good, mainstream is boring.
For sure, yeah. So did you, how about the people, it's hard to pick people that you get along with, obviously. I mean, everybody has that problem. Even straight people have it, obviously, right? Look at the divorce rate.
Yeah. As far as dating people, or just along with people?
Or dating people. Do you think the gay community, though, is very competitive? Or the gay Asian community, whatever that is? Do you think people are always looking for a new lover?
Yes. It's not just that they're just looking for a new lover all the time. Just looking for sex, or I don't know. It's weird. I mean, they're always on their own track of mind and everything. I never understood it. I mean, I've always been someone to believe in long-term relationships. But everybody else, like, I don't know. It's also due to because they don't understand what they want yet. The thing is, you know, I'm young, and it's understandable when I'm dating people around my age, because they're just coming out, is just coming into this whole gay thing. And, you know, I don't blame them if they don't know what they want. And, you know, people, they go through this whole confusion thing, like, okay, you know, if you're gay, it's just like how I used to believe. Like, if one person's gay and you're gay, perfect. If they're cute, perfect. Yeah. Not like that at all. I mean, dating in the gay world's a lot harder than, and it's like being in a straight relationship, it's just that you have to dig and find these people that you get along with to date.
But sex is easy to find.
Sex can be very confusing if you're new to that, like, if you're new to the scene. I mean, I've had sex, obviously, since, like, I was 15, 16.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, at first I wasn't exactly sure what to do, but, you know, now, you know, as, you know, obviously, as time goes by, you get more experience. It's all there, because the thing is, they don't teach you anything about gay sex in, like, school. I mean, high school, they have that health ed class, and as far as they go, they'll teach you about how reproduction works and how the female and male have sexual intercourse. I mean, I learned about gay sex through experience.
Right.
I know of heterosexual sex through school. I have no idea how lesbians have sex. They don't speak about it. It's not taught at school. it was a very interesting way of learning.
So, do you see them as teachers, your partners? Or you saw them as your teachers?
I guess you can put it that way. I mean, they obviously knew what they were doing. And, you know, sometimes, sometimes I would actually ask them for tips. Like, okay, how do I do this? And how would it make you feel better and everything? You know?
Yeah, yeah. Were you scared, though, doing all this stuff? Or was it more, adventurous and curiosity and kind of stuff?
Well, the thing is, since I was always rebellious, I was always up for anything new. And sex, at first I was a little bit scared because I didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into. But, you know, it's just, you know, that right there always excites me. Like, okay, you know, what's going to happen next, you know, that kind of feeling. And, I mean, I guess, went through the whole thing very brave, I guess.
Yeah, and, but then later on you work with the AIDS groups, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and how do you, I mean, at the time you were coming out, did you think about AIDS, or was that a big thing?
Yeah, I thought about it, and it did, because the thing is, my mom's best friend, got us a place to live in San Francisco and got her a job and everything. He actually passed away because of AIDS.
Oh.
So, it's been in my life and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, they talk about it at school. People, the thing is, when I first came out, one of the first people my mom took me to talk to was her best friend's partner. And he told me a few things about, gay sex and the wonderful thing, but you just have to be well aware of what you're doing and use protection.
So were you always practicing safe sex?
to be honest, 50-50.
Yeah. Because now, I had a guy on my show at one point a few years ago who was into barebacking. And he was HIV positive, actually. I think some people think that's more exciting.
I mean, sometimes this happens without protection, and the thing is, I do keep myself responsible enough to at least get tested, because HIV scare, I think it was last year or so, because me and one of my exes, we broke up. And, strange symptoms started showing up, and, I started getting sick and feeling weird. And I did a lot of research online and everything, and also from the knowledge I got from the agency about what was going on. And a lot of the symptoms that were showing up related to being HIV positive, but at the same time, also related to the common cold or flu, all these different things.
Flu, yeah.
So then, my ex was feeling the same way, and we were already apart and everything. And the thing is, just for safety's sake, we decided to get tested again to see, the whole status was and what was going on. And throughout that whole ordeal, it was really scary because, I didn't know what was going on and everything. And I was always asking myself, what would happen if it does come back positive and everything? And I got a little depressed about it. And me and my ex talked and said, we're going to help each other through this whole ordeal.
Yeah.
He said he didn't blame me, and I was really happy that he said that because, the last thing you need at that time is someone bitching, saying all these things on your neck and everything. And, we went to go get our results, because the thing is, he actually lives in South California, and I'm up here. And we both got our results, and they both came back negative. And I was really happy, but I didn't just leave that whole ordeal without learning a lesson. And the thing is, throughout that whole time, I was already trying to tell myself, to accept both possibilities, negative or positive. Because, when you learn through that, you never know. I mean, if it comes back positive, you don't want to end up going crazy and just letting your entire life go just because of that. I mean, your life has so much more ahead, especially me at that age.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to let go. And I wanted to be more positive about life. Because, God knows, I don't need any more negativity.
Yeah. I know it's so scary to wait for the results, because I always, when I get my self-tested now, sometimes the doctor calls and I mean, it's weird because I have a health plan, so they just do it, and sometimes they don't even tell me. And so, I figure if I don't hear anything, it's fine. And, if I heard, I figure if it's bad, they'll call and ask me to come in and tell me, and then I know it's something bad. But if they just don't even tell me, then it's like a routine thing. So, yeah. But do you find it's hard to give AIDS education or sex education to people just coming out? Or is that do you like doing that?
Well, the thing that I do is I go around the high schools and I talk to small groups of I talk to whole classes of health ed students about, it's more of gay awareness that, there are gay people out there. And it's educate people about us.
Yeah.
So that, the gay violence, gay hate and everything slowly depletes away. Because, it's still an existing problem, even in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Largest percentage of people?
Yeah, I believe it was 60 to 70% of the cases, over 50.
In San Francisco?
In the U.S., I believe, or, yeah.
It's I can't believe it. Really? Wow. That's hard to believe. Yeah, because you never see that anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, because the thing is, through training and everything, and talking to your students in these classes, they give you all these pamphlets, and you know, you learn so much from it. And even I didn't know that until training, and you know, it really shocked me. And I tell some of the students about it, and it shocks them. And you know, it's also because I'm young and I'm Asian, and a lot of the like schools here in San Francisco, a lot of the students are Asian. I've actually had some kids raise their hand and tell me that they wouldn't believe that I'm gay because they've never seen that or have even heard of a gay Asian person.
Oh, really? Wow.
And I tell them, well...
rare species. That's amazing. It's amazing in San Francisco they would think that.
Yeah, I mean, other people would think, you know, everybody in San Francisco knows about gay people, but there's still all these small little niches that, you know, people don't know.
Because when we were marching in 79 in the first march in Washington, the gay march, I think we had about 15 people, Asians in the whole country. And we thought that was it. That was our big group. So, but it's hard to believe that. It's, you know, there's still areas where people don't think there can be gay Asians. How about the Castro area? When you go there, do you feel it's a welcoming thing for people of color?
The Castro, when I first went into the Castro, I thought it was great. I thought, you know, hey, wow, I can hang out here with all the other gay people. But, I mean, if you really look at it, I mean, it's, you know, it is a safe place to be. But, you know, there are such things as ghetto gay people who also hang out at the corners of the streets in the Castro. The majority of Castro is bars.
Is there still a clone look?
Is there what?
Clone look, the Castro clone look?
I have no idea.
The short hair, the cool cut, the whatever.
Not that I know of. Lots of bars. There's not much for anybody like my age to do. I mean, there's the lamp that's located around there, but...
Lyric is for young gays, right?
Yeah, it's look under Lavender and... Lavender Youth Recreation Information Center, and they do a lot of outreach. They do programs and have young people go and hang out and watch movies.
What's Aqua? Were you involved in that?
Yeah, Aqua was it's actually based under the API Wellness Center. It's a small youth group run by youth. Asian youth under 25, and AQUA basically stands for Asian and Pacific Islanders Queer Questions under 25 altogether. And, you know, we pretty much did the exact same thing as Lyric. We took in a lot of young gay Asian or Pacific Islander kids, and, you know, we made it a safe space for them to hang out, talk about things, make new friends. It is a really, it's a really great program.
Do you still do stuff there?
Not anymore, because I think about a good 4 years there, and my supervisor, the person I was like running under, Ophelia, she was great. She was out, me and her, we were in the program together at the same time. Like, we were just attending as like, you know, people going there to hang out, and then eventually I became one of the peer leaders and she became the head coordinator. And, you know, we worked together a lot and everything, but then as years went by and stress started building up, I had so many other things to deal with in my life. She asked me, like, you know, if there was anything she could help me with to clear some of the stress. And one of the sources of my stress was actually that place. You know, I needed a break for myself.
Yeah.
So she let me go, and she left too, not that much longer after that.
You did a lot of artwork for them, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did a lot of artwork. I facilitated a lot of the meetings, helped Ophelia come up with icebreakers a little bit.
are they coming out younger and younger now? Is it all?
Yes, they are.
What's the youngest, you think?
The youngest that I've met is 14.
Oh.
And because the thing is, since I get a lot of traffic on my website, and I'm all over the place on the internet, I get a lot of people messaging me, and IMing me from AIM, just to chat or to talk and everything, and I'm always open to meet new friends. Even though I stopped doing that stuff at the at Aqua, I'm still very open to helping people and trying to figure out. I help them get through this whole getting into the gay world and explaining to them it's not like this, like this, blah 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 blah. And a majority of the ones that I've been meeting lately are running under the ages of 15, 16, 17, really young, and they're all still in high school.
Because I had the idea that when you chat with somebody very young, a lot of times, because of all these cases where they're trying to catch people, and so the cops pretend to be minors and young people, and then when you go meet them, they actually, are 40 years old or something.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't have any problem with that because, I'm strictly online to talk to friends, to make friends, and to, help out whoever is in need. I don't go out of my way. Because a lot of the people that do go online and everything and talk to minors are just usually looking for sex. And, that's there's a big factor right there when police, they do pretend they're a minor and they try to catch these people who could, they're probably attempted rapists or, the whole law against, sex with minors.
Do you think the age, on this issue, do you think the age of consent is, I guess in California, I suppose it's 18, and is that too high, too low, or whatever?
As far as, the age?
Yeah, because in Europe, it's in England, for instance, it's 16, and the gay groups want to lower it to 14. I mean, in Europe, generally, it's about 14 or 15, the age of consent.
I think it's sort of pretty safe. Here in the U.S., it's okay. You don't want people at really young ages saying something really stupid.
But they're doing it anyway, right? Look at all the teen pregnancy is prevalent,
it's pretty much regardless of what nature and shape put it. It's not really
going to
stop kids and everything.
Because a lot of young people don't even know there's age of consent.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, right. For sure. How about this idea of, in the 60s, this one thing that developed in the sexual movements was separation between, love and sex, That the idea that one can have sex without falling in love. Sex could be pleasure, that sex wasn't just leading to pregnancy or whatever. It wasn't to, raise a family. You could enjoy sex. Do you think, when you first came out, you were pretty romantic, you wanted to fall in love, and are you more jaded now?
It's a lot clearer to me now. The whole difference between love, sex, infatuation, or just being horny. I've had one night stands before, and I've come into realization I can't have sex if the emotions aren't there. There's no emotion, it's boring, it's nothing. And I could have so much more fun playing video games than having
because after the next morning you feel like, well, what was that about?
I just think to myself, ew, what the hell? Right now it's, I still believe in love. I do know how to differentiate it from infatuation because the thing is I'm also a very realistic person. And when people in, say, a week, they message me and say, hey, you know what, I'm thinking about you and I think I really like you, or they say I really love you. You know, I tell them, well, you know,